Hi everyone, this is your host, Arlene. I wanted to take a moment before speaking on my topic today to thank you all for your support this year and so many years prior. I thank you for allowing me into your homes, your earbuds, your car while you're driving. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Please don't forget to share my podcasts and my videos. And I also have many other videos on YouTube under the same name, Adelante with Arlene. Adelante means go forward with me. Today, I want to do a segment that I call My Thoughts. So therefore, it might be shorter and it might be more of my speaking to you about something that has been in my mind, in my heart, and I am doing it a little less in the sense of teaching, but a little bit more of speaking and sharing.
Let's get started.
Through the years that I've been in the Lord, it's going to be, I lost track. It could be 32 years at this point. I know it's in the 30s somewhere. I can tell you that I have ran into many of my friends that might have started this walk with the Lord many years, even some prior to my coming to serving God and coming to the faith. And they have lost their desire to continue to walk with God.
These are my thoughts. Let me inspire you.
Many have become distant from the church these days, and I believe more and more and more. Many with good reason. They might have had a very bad experience at the church that they might have attended at. They might have been offended, which is something I can talk about another time a little more deeper, by someone in the church wrongfully. They also might have been feeling that they are not being taught correctly, or they might be judged in the manner in which they have come into the church, maybe the way they dress, maybe they had too many tattoos, maybe they had too many piercings, maybe this or that or that or that, all exterior stuff. I understand all that. I want to give you a tiny little back story. I have to make it little because, you know, it could go long. When I came to the Lord, if you want to hear my testimony and a lot more of that, you can go on YouTube and check out some of my earlier videos where I share. When I came to the Lord, I came from a world of entertainment. I came off of a different environment. I was a recording artist. I was on stage. I am a creative person, still am. I dressed a certain way. And that was all fine and dandy when it comes to New York City, as we are very, very much into our own uniqueness and our own dressing and our own styles. But when you come into a church or any church, there will always be one or two that may be judging you or kind of making a perception of you by what they see on the outside. Your appearance. So I was probably about 28, 29. I was a bit offended and a bit angry at maybe this one specific person. Mind you, I went to a church that was about 1,000+ people. So that was one person that verbally said to me something about, my being a distraction when I got up to go to the restroom, that maybe I should go the other way around because of X, Y, or Z, whatever it was. First of all, I was dressed appropriately, because I've always been taught, you know, you go to work and you wear a mini skirt. I'm just saying, did I go to work in New York City and wear maybe a shirt that was a little low cut? No, I didn't. I was properly in proper attire when I went to work, and when if I had a regular job, and then when I became a recording artist, my clothing was of a different type, of course, back then, you know, for myself and et cetera, et cetera. Well, okay. So when I went to church, I was in the choir. At that time, I started to be part of a choir. So I was dressed in a nice, you know, classy way. But I felt as if though I was being told that I was a distraction, which I know that's how she meant it in other ways. And basically speaking, I took offense to that because I had come to the church broken. I had come to the church in need of love from God, in a sense, like love from God's people. And I felt that I was being, you know, kind of made to feel as if though I was purposely, or I was trying to be some distraction to some men or something. When the truth of the matter is, you as a human being, as a woman, let me just say specifically, can wear a turtleneck and a pair of jeans, and whatever's on the mind of a person and the way they perceive these things that are looking at you, that's their thoughts. You are not responsible for their thoughts. So whether you wear a bag or you don't wear a bag, you know, a mind that's depraved is going to be depraved, period. A mind that's going to be tempted is going to be tempted because they get tempted of their own. Especially if you are not, obviously, if you're dressed modestly in some way and you're not trying to draw attention to yourself in the manner of your outer appearance. So I really took offense to it. So instead of being as, let's say, saying, I am not going to be at this church anymore, instead of saying, you know, that's it, I'm done, I'm a fighter. And what I said to myself, even though my feelings were hurt, was this: she ain't going to get me out of this church. Nobody. I came down this path because God presented himself to me by the power of his Holy Spirit. Long testimony how this happened to me. Again, you can go check that out on any of my videos on YouTube. And I tell you, that said, I'm staying here. I'm a fighter, and I don't come here for people. I come here to hear the word of God. And because I knew that the deliverance of the word was coming from this incredible woman of God, God rest her soul now, Pastor Amy Cortese, from the Crossroads Tabernacle in the Bronx. I was comfortable and feeling the love of Christ as she preached the word of God. A very loving woman, a very strong woman, a very loving woman who always complimented me and those around her. She would say, I love that short hair, or I love that red lipstick and the beautiful leopard coat you have on. She was always very encouraging, loving, and kind. I wasn't going to let nobody else get me out where God had brought me from, and God had brought me to. But yet, many that have attempted to go to church have quickly removed themselves from the services of going to church on a Sunday, a weekday service, because they got turned off by someone that should know better in the church, that made a statement to you or I at that church, not knowing our past, not knowing our pain, not knowing how that might have hurt us, destroyed us, how that might have triggered something in us that that had happened in the past. For one, my father used to be verbally abusive to me, and I love my dad. I forgave him. I got a lot of videos on that too. I love my daddy. He passed away September of this year on Labor Day. Miss him dearly. But growing up, my father verbally abused me, which spoke to me in a demeaning manner constantly. And therefore, any person that was going to speak to me in a manner such as I was to blame for something or somebody else's actions when I wasn't, or if I looked a certain way and they were critical of me, that was going to trigger something in me. It was going to trigger either, you know, the sadness, immense sadness, hurt, pain, which it did, or it was going to bring the fight in me out. And it did bring the fight in me out. And I thank God for that. So I remained at the church, and I started to understand that we are a flawed people, a people that need God. We need God. I need him. You need him. They need him. We all need him. We need God. And that we are being perfected a day at a time. And that the closer we get to God, then the more a day at a time we start to grow. And the closer we get to God in prayer, by reading his word, by speaking to others that are mature in Christ, I assure you, some things in our lives will be illuminated, and we will learn and we will grow, and we will also learn to be more empathetic and sympathetic of others. Empathetic because we have gone through it, and therefore we understand, and we become less judgmental when another person is going through something that we have already learned a lesson through and grown through, because we too had acted the same way at one time or another. For one, I remember in the support groups of AA and Al-Anon meetings that it says that the things that we usually don't like about others are the things we don't like about ourselves. That rings to be true. And it comes to my mind constantly when I was becoming either judgmental, or critical of someone else, I had to check myself. The Word of God says that before we check out the plank in someone's eye, we need to take the speck out of our own. In other words, check yourself before you judge someone else. So let's move forward. Another reason why people might get turned off from church is because they, or I, or any one of us, might believe that there is so much that you have to give up in order to stay right with God. You hear that? So much you have to give up in order to stay right with God. In some ways, there is definitely a lot we have to give up. But we start changing and giving up some of our ways and our ways of thinking and behaviors, not because anyone gives us a rule book and says, do this, do that, do this, do that. It's because as you get closer to God in prayer, as you learn the Word of God, as you study it with the proper gathering, with those that are, like I went to school. In my case, I went to Bible school and then an institute, and then I went on to college, and then I got my degree in theology, and then I went on to the graduate school. So as you move onward and you continue to grow and understand the Word, and the Holy Spirit illuminates that Word, it's a real thing, illuminates it. And you get this revelation of what God is speaking to you about. It causes you to want to give up some of your old behaviors, to want to and desire to walk in a more pleasing manner. Does it happen all at the same time? No. And don't ever let anyone make you believe that this is here. Here's a rule book and 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. If you don't do this, then you're not a Christian. Because once again, we are all a flawed people. Now, that is not a statement made in order to give us license to sin or to continue to act like a fool, because the only person we're really hurting is really ourselves more than anyone else. I'm going to tell you that again. Yes, our actions will hurt other people. They do. And they can. And they do have consequences. So what I'm saying that is, we do hurt ourselves, because we cannot live a life and live it abundantly if we are not going to get to that place that we will surrender some things to God in order to receive the blessings and to have some way opened up for us that's going to, for instance, if I go and I continue to, which I've done, complain about something at work, something that I have no power to change, right? If I continue to do that and continue to do that and continue to do that, I'm going to become a nuisance to my supervisor. I'm going to become a nuisance to those around us. They're going to be tired of hearing me in the meetings, as I've done in my past, to saying this and saying that. They're going to perceive it as a complaint. Even though your opinion or your experience might be valid and true, and what you're saying might be the best thing for the company, if you just continue, it becomes a nag. And guess what? They don't hear you anymore. But when you're a Christian and you give this to the Lord and you press through, you will feel guidance from the Spirit of God, either to start looking for another job and just, you know, do it in a wise way so you don't end up with no job and no money, you know, or to just shut up. In my case, shut up, Arlene, and give it to God and trust God. Trust God that the situation and the circumstance will be turned around. Again, I have videos on that too. It's one about grace, where I too went through that last year. And I took this for about more than 6 months from a supervisor that I had gotten new after I had a fabulous supervisor who I failed constantly when I was doing the reviews. I mean, this woman to me just didn't really, just, I don't know. We just did not hit it off whatsoever. And yeah, I learned to forgive her, but I don't think she's a good manager. That's the truth. And I think she was very partial to some people. And why do I say that? Because after about 6 months of pure, I had anxiety issues. I was angry. I worked from home, so they didn't get to see my face. My husband got to see everything I was going through. I was a fighter, and I refused to just leave my job or lose my job because someone was instigating me and pushing my buttons. Because, you know, people can be used in a bad way for you. There are some not so good people out there sometimes, you know. Instead, I said, I am not leaving this job. I said this to myself and I said it out loud until God says otherwise. Well, when I said that, it was just a matter of time, guys. I'm serious. I think it might have been just a month after I said that, that the doors opened. She left and got promoted to another department. Yay. And I got switched over to another team in which I thought I would be doing the same kind of work, which I was already dreading. But no, I got put in a special team. So out of 20 of us, 4 of us went to the special team and I was one of them. And now in this team with this new manager, now my third manager, I am excelling. I am one of the top. And as a result, I'm due for a raise next year. So I didn't let, again, some negative things and some people that have negativity or those that really don't like you, even though you've done nothing to make them not like you, I didn't let them win. I took it to God and understood that I too had to have grace for this person and I had to have forgiveness. And that was really between me and God, that I had to just understand that we are a flawed people, all of us in and outside of church. Another reason some people might withdraw from the gathering in the church is that they might have desired more to remain in certain sinful acts than to walk a different way as God will have us so that we will receive the full blessings of God. We desire to feed our flesh and our desires more than to submit ourselves to God and allow Him to have control of our lives a day at a time in a manner that would be beneficial for us. See, God loves us. He's not trying to control us, and He doesn't. We have free will. He loves us in the good and the bad and the ugly. He loves us even before some of us even said and confessed, hey, I need you, God, as I did. If you're such a God out there, then you show yourself to me. That's what I said. He loves us even when we're in the midst of our horrendousness, because I've been there, done that. He loves us even when we've been in the Lord for a long time and my slip away for a few years and we are made to believe by the enemy of our soul that God would never forgive us for something we did, that how could we have been in the Lord and then done that? I've been done that, felt that way too. But I can tell you that God loves us. And that word repent is not like we think repent, like, ooh, let you, like, it's like taking a ruler and beating you. No, no. You know, excuse me for saying that, but you know what I mean. It's not that kind of discipline. It's a different type of discipline. Repenting is when we realize our wrongs and our ways are just not beneficial to us, but they are not pleasing to God. And we're somehow trapped in our own situation, our own sin. We see no way out. And we're so mind confused and doubting so much. And when we repent, what we're really doing is turning away from that situation, away from it, and moving on forward. Siguiendo adelante. Adelante means to move forward. And that's the kind of, that's what repentance is, to move away from it and continue to work forward toward God a day at a time. Know this, that there is nothing unforgivable to God. I know that sounds a little bit way out there. No, there's nothing. You say, but these horrible if we repent and make it right with God, there's nothing unforgivable by God. It doesn't stop him from loving us. God hates the sin. He doesn't hate us. If we just push towards God and ask for forgiveness, he, God, will forgive us. But remember this statement, whatever we've done, period, that's not pleasing to God, will have its consequences. Some of the consequences we have heard might have been a lot larger, unfortunately, when we've walked out of the will of God. We might have depleted all our finances. We might have done this, or that, which I will not mention. That was not pleasing. And there were consequences, right, in the natural. Now, if there's something that's even heightened more than that, what I mean by that is something horrendously criminal, there will be consequences. But even in that state, whether someone is imprisoned for life and they have made themselves right before God and repented where they're at, and they're seeking the Lord even in their incarceration, physically incarcerated, they truly have developed a relationship with God, and they have a relationship with God, and they're there, they're still going to be there. And they're not going to get out because that's a sentence that was given to them. But they have found peace and forgiveness in God. Well, let's get into the natural place. If you've gone so far away from God that you have thought that this or that was going to be unforgivable, you would possibly know better, especially if you were in the Lord, you know better that God is not that kind of God. He's a loving God. And at the minute that you have asked God to forgive you and released yourself from that situation, there's going to be even more of a larger release, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ Jesus, there's still not going to be any condemnation if you just believe and give your heart to him and keep moving forward with him. Now, there are also those that have been just gotten turned off to church because of the aspect of asking for money. Ooh, it's a little delicate one, right? I never had issues with that. Well, I did in one church, and I'll explain. I didn't have issues with that. I was for 10 years in one church in New York, about 10 years in the other, prior to moving here to Florida. And I can tell you that the Bible speaks about giving. It speaks about giving and taking care of others that are in need. It also talks about just the aspect of giving monetarily, paying your taxes per se. I'm going to say something to you. A church should never guilt anyone into tithing. That's not of God. You don't guilt someone. You don't say to someone, if you don't give this offering, then you won't get blessed today. Now, 5 minutes, that's all you got. It's 5 minutes, 5 minutes, $500, 5 minutes. I feel like I'm in some auction or something. That's not God. Because the blessing ain't going to go because of that. How's about you didn't get to check today? And all of a sudden they're saying that, well, you're not blessed because you didn't give that, in this case, not the tithe, but let's say the offering. No, that's not of God. I'm very uncomfortable with that. But I do believe in tithing, because I have experience when I lived single in New York City. And even back then in 2006, 2007, and I was living in my own apartment again, I can tell you that there was times that I lived so paycheck to paycheck that I had nothing left for maybe $5 for the rest of the week. Yeah, sounds familiar, huh? Some of us have gone through that and continue to go through that, right? It happens. But one thing I never stopped doing was tithing. And in that case, I actually even did an offering. So I did a tithing and an offering once a month, which means that offering went to a specific department where my heart felt that I needed to donate to that department for its growth. The tithing was a given. That was every Sunday. So when we had a first recession that I was an adult to be a part of, and I lost my job half time, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was losing my wits end. My family was all in Florida. What was I going to do? I was single. I can tell you that the churches in New York were the ones that helped me. My former church that I had been with 10 years and I was at another church, they helped me though I was no longer in that church because I was still a part of them and a part of the body of Christ. When I had worked with the homeless ministry in the streets of New York City from the Crossroads Church, the man of life provided me with Metro cards and groceries. When I needed money to pay my rent, the new church I was in, they gathered together and paid my month's rent. When I needed this or that or that or that till I got myself together, it took me about a month to be able to get another job. They took care of me. Okay, the blessings came. God said I would never do without. I gave my tithe. I never do without. So for those that are disgruntled about it, I get it. If somebody says, hey, do it now, you don't get the blessing. You are blessed people when you're walking with the Lord. You are a blessed people. The Bible says so. But you will be abundantly blessed if you are a giver. My mother is a giver. My mother has always been a giver. Before my mother even became a Christian and she was, you know, going to church and to Catholic church and not understanding a lot of things and decided to later on in life become a Christian, follower of Christ. Hey, Catholics are follower of Christ too. It's just, you know, I'm not into a denominational, you know, umbrella. My mom was always a giver and my mother never had to do without until this day. My dad passed away. They had a home here. And when she sold the home before my dad moved on because he was suffering of dementia, my mom sold her house in three days. This year, during a time where the economy is so bad. How? My mother's a giver. My mother's a giver. My mother's a giver. When you are a giver, you give with your time, you give yes with the finances. That's called the tithe. Here you go again, Arlene. We sit at church, right? We sit in nice seats. Might be air conditioned, it might be heat, clean bathrooms, electricity, a staff that works there, that keeps the place looking nice. The bigger the church, the more to do. You know something? They have to pay the bills. It's not the responsibility of the pastor. That's not even biblical. It's us as the congregation that go there to eat, to receive, to give our offerings and tithes to the house of God. The tithes go for one thing. The offerings go to another. If you don't like that, that's okay. But that should never keep you away from going to church, even if you decide to limit your blessing by not tithing. I have too many testimonies on how God is the provider. The problem is the flawed people from the pulpit have tried to guilt the people of God to tithe. They have given a false view of what tithing is. Never be guilted into tithing, but know this, your tithe goes to the house of God as unto the Lord, and you will never, never, even if it feels like it's the end, ever, even if you feel it's a day before and you don't have anything to eat, you will never be without, I assure you. So today, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, know this. It's not rules and regulations. It's not, you know, what are you wearing that for? It is a process. I went from wearing these little short skirts, I was younger, to wearing this and to wearing that, to kind of changing my ways, but not so much to lose who I am, myself, my identity, my creativity. I evolved. I learned. I walked with God. I am now going to be 60, and I can tell you, I don't dress the same, even especially because I gained weight in my part. I don't dress the same as I dressed when I was in my 20s. It's just an understanding of who you are and how you want to learn how to present yourself. Again, I'm not saying you can't color your hair in different colors. I got spiky hair. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have tattoos. That's up to you. I'm not saying you can't wear this many rings or that many. No, none of that stuff, because I come from a creative aspect. God loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. But I started modifying things about myself because I was no longer comfortable with my presentation, because the person I was then on the stage is not the person I am now. And even when I've gotten back up on the stage to sing, I'm still not the same person. Therefore, my attire was changed, so pretty, still, you know, appropriate for the stage, still, you know, but it just represents who I am now. And so the outside is not who I am. It is what is on the inside that beams out and has changed even my outside. It comes from in, no longer from out, covering what was truly inside. So today, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, just know this, we are fallible people. Yes, if you feel uncomfortable in a church and someone is teaching and you can feel it in your spirit that this is not right, that this is this and that, and you have a great pastor, go speak to your pastor about the situation. That's not gossip. You go speak to the pastor about how you're feeling so that you may get, you know, illuminated help or whatever. Believe me, I've had to do it. Also, if you don't feel and God is showing you that it's not lining up with what his word says and you're uncomfortable about it and you really are uncomfortable, not because you don't want to apply the word, but because the interpretation of this word seems to be quite in error, happened to me, and it continues to happen and you don't have good teaching, then don't go to that church. Find yourself and ask God to show you a different church. I was here in Florida, and I'm going to close with this, at a church where I still love everybody there, absolutely. But it was a different type of church. It was like the Word of Faith movement. It was more of a name it and claim it in many ways. Well, I learned a lot in that church. I learned a lot about applying the Word of God to my situation. That's totally biblical. There was one thing I was not in agreement with, and it started messing with me and messing with me and messing with me so much that it took me 3 years. But because I was mature in the Lord, I was able to decipher, to be able to see, to be able to be clear that what I was feeling or perceiving or discerning in the spirit was actually true. And for me, it was. And what I mean by that is, while I am not into the name it and claim it, I am into confessing and professing the word of God and what it says. But I also understand that we live in a flawed world and in a world where things will happen, and that the word of God never said I would be absent of having any struggles, nor would it, did it say that that being sick meant that you were not faithful enough, or if you were not healed or better, that meant that you didn't have sufficient faith. Those, to me, that is incorrect, and it is not taught correctly. If I am sick, which I was for the last 3 years a lot, and still go through some other changes in my body, it's not because God doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that I did something wrong, and it doesn't mean that I have less faith. It means that I live in a natural world where things will happen, but God can perform miracles, absolutely.
These are my thoughts. Let me inspire you.
So please know this, that all these factors that I've spoken about are true, and that your feelings are valid, that you might have been also offended. I've learned that I have no room in my life for the spirit of offense, that I am forgiven of God, and that God forgives those who turn away and repent and move forward on with him. If you don't know the Lord today, please give your heart to him. Just say whatever your heart says. For instance, I said, hey, there's a God out there, show yourself to me. And I didn't say it in such a nice way. I was pretty fed up with my ways and my life and my not understanding. He's here for you today. He loves you. You are important. 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 And while we are on this earth, we will make mistakes. We are a fallible people, if you're in the Lord or not in the Lord. But you learn through your mistakes most of the time, and we hope so. And with God, he does strengthen us not to repeat those mistakes. But if, like myself, during a certain period of time, after being with the Lord for 18 years at that time, I went and regressed to some old behavior because I was angry. Yeah, I was angry at God because what I wanted, I didn't receive at the moment I wanted it. So many years, I regressed to my old ways of thinking and kind of felt like I had it. I got this, God. And there were consequences. And there will always be consequences to our actions. But guess what? Those consequences are hurting us more than anything. And many times our actions will definitely hurt other people. But in some cases, it hurts us and doesn't hurt other people, but it hurts us incredibly. I really can't see a way that it doesn't hurt another person, because even my actions hurt another person in a way that might have been spiritually enlightening for them, by them not being in the Lord and I being in the Lord, and I should have known better. I was just hindering them from something. I'm not proud of it, but I asked God for forgiveness and I got myself in the right standing with God. show. I think that sometimes we like to make more excuses to ourselves and more rationalization on why we shouldn't be following God, because we want to have more concrete answers and we have doubts. Well, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Well, I chose and I choose to stand by faith, not understanding all things, knowing grief is hard and we don't know why these things happen. You know, why do we get sick? Well, we get sick because we live in a natural world. Many people have been given the miracle of healing. Many people have not, but they have lived their lives wonderfully and abundantly with God and moved and passed on to be with God and to eternal bliss. You don't believe that? Give your heart to Jesus and he'll let you know and he'll show you the way. I assure you, a day at a time. There is no rule book. There is no this or that. There is the power of the Holy Spirit which will show you the way to go. Absolutely. The gathering of the brethren, the congregation, to me is more beneficial to me, and I desire it as the Word of God says, for iron sharpens iron, and I learn from others on what to do and what not to do. And it also allows me, when need be, to be able to help another person if I am asked for my opinion, or if God leads me and guides me to minister and speak to someone else, as I am trying to do here with you, to try to encourage you. If you need help, professional help, please know that there are many different sites like BetterHelp and many other therapists online that people can help you. It's a very thorough kind of the questionnaire where you can choose if you want a Christian therapist or this or that or that or this to, and if you are not comfortable with the therapist assigned to you, you can very well ask for a change of that. I know, because I got on it myself, and I assure you that we all need some help as well. A day at a time. These times are rough, but with God, we can do all things and make it through. Please stay encouraged and know you matter to God. You are loved. There's nothing too great that God will not forgive if you just turn to Him. Absolutely. Thank you for your support. Check out my videos on YouTube and please subscribe to YouTube. I work so hard. So please tune in, subscribe, and know that in YouTube, as well as any other of the platforms, your likes and your views are quite important to the analytics and also the sharing of those videos. But in YouTube, subscribe. That is a big deal. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your year. If you're listening to this January of next year, you'll still be blessed, we hope. Yeah, absolutely. So stay encouraged and let me inspire you.
Sigue adelante.
Thank you for tuning in to Adelante with Arlene.